Amen. There are people younger than me who carry my last name, who have made references in the past of me being a lot like Homer Simpson. Now, for those of you who are not aware of who Homer Simpson is, he is a cartoon character on the show The Simpsons. He is irreverent. He is unintelligent. He is overweight with a pot belly. He's a terrible father. And he likes to drink beer and eat donuts. I'll go with the donut part. I love donuts. In fact, being the good pastor that I am, when we have our coffee hour following services, you should know that the donuts have been checked by me to make sure that they are in the highest quality, because I'm looking out for you. I can't go past a donut shop. If it's a new one, I love stopping and going. There's a place down, a little small chain down in North Carolina called Duck Donut, and they make the donuts right there in front of you. They have this little machine that does them, and so you get them to order, hot, and they're wonderful. But I've learned to be able to kind of modify my lifestyle to calm down a little bit, not to be able to eat every donut that goes by, because as I ate more and more donuts, I began to realize that soon I would look like Homer Simpson. So I decided that it would be better to have everything in a bit of moderation. But one of my joyful moments was when Javier Santana joined my congregation in New Jersey. Javi owned 32 Dunkin' Donut franchises. Javi had so many Dunkin' Donut franchises, they actually built a dream of mine, a donut factory, where every night, late into the night, early into the morning, people worked to make fresh, hot, delicious, wonderful donuts. And Javi shared these donuts with me, and it brought great joy to my heart. But it wasn't only Dunkin' Donuts that Javi owned. He also owned some IHOP franchises. He owned some Sonic franchises. And as I left New Jersey, he was beginning to build his first Firehouse Sub franchise. There's an interesting relationship that takes place between the franchise and the franchisee, because there are certain rules, regulations, and expectations that go into place. You just can't buy one of these businesses and run it the way you want to run it. They tell you how you're supposed to run it. With Firehouse Subs, Javi was going down to Florida all the time to be trained to make the subs just the way they make the subs, to be able to decorate things the way things are supposed to be decorated in that Firehouse Sub tradition, to be able to have that same level of customer service and an understanding of exactly how management runs a Firehouse Sub franchise. Because Firehouse Subs, Dunkin' Donuts, IHOP, any franchisee wants you to do it just the way they expect it to be done. And they expect to be done that way. Did I turn this one on? I'm sorry. I can't tell. Oh, it's backwards. Is this better? Okay. Having technical difficulty. And they also expect you to be able to make a certain amount of money, because they get some of that money. It's just the way it works. That's how they stay in business. Today's gospel lesson, they talk about a landowner and a tenant. Well, it's really a franchisee and a franchise that's taking place here. The owner goes in, he builds this wonderful vineyard. Not only does he plant the vineyard, he puts a hedgerow around it, he puts a watchtower, and even has a wine press so they can take the product, take the grapes, and be able to press it into wine. He has everything there. It's kind of one of those, what do they call it? Turnkey, thank you. I heard key in my brain, but I couldn't come up with a turn. A turnkey sort of operation. You go in, there it is, good to go. But there were expectations. The landowner wasn't just turning this over to these guys saying, hey, have at it, grow some grapes, make some wine, make lots of money. Don't worry about me, I'm fine. Because when he came back into the country, he had an expectation that he was going to get his cut, be able to collect the produce that they had grown. It didn't quite work out that way. Because instead of giving the owner what he deserved, he tried to give the owner something else. And it wasn't very well received. Of course, it's a parable, and the parable was directed to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, telling them exactly how bad they were in terms of their understanding of the kingdom of God and how they were looking to persecute Jesus and not really be able to give back to God the things that God deserves. And that the vineyard was going to be turned over to other people, not them, because they didn't want it with the stipulations that God had put forth. And so those other people, us, can give them the vineyard. But it's still a franchise operation. There are still expectations that go in place for us running this vineyard, being part of this community in which we are. Because it's not just a matter of going on and living life like we would like. It is the expectation that we live life in a manner for which God would have us live. To be a franchise owner of this place, of this world. To be able to step out into the world and be a representative of this God who has given us life, this God who has given us this vineyard of this world. To be able to go out and allow the world to understand through what we say and through what we do exactly what Christianity is all about. What people of faith are all about. To be able to use our lives in a manner that can spread that love that God has shared with us. Be able to allow the world to see that we are workers in that which God has blessed us with. Workers who are willing to share, workers who are willing to give, workers who are willing to make a difference in this world. You see, quite often we think that there really aren't any catches. You know, we're saved by grace. God has blessed us that way. But there's still the expectation, the responsibility within Lutheranism to be able to serve God, not necessarily to find our way into heaven to get through that front door, as it were, but rather to be able to serve God in a manner which just allows us to live our lives out of gratitude and thanks for what we've been given. To be able to allow the world to understand through our actions and through our words and through the things that we do that we are just simply grateful for this God who has given us the life we live. Grateful for the vineyard in which we're a part. Grateful for the opportunities we have to serve Him in so many different ways. And that gratefulness is lived out through the actions of our lives, through what we say, through what we give, through how we help, through how we care, through how we share. But most of all, through how we share that love that we've been blessed with. The vineyard is ours to care for. It is ours to nurture. We don't own it. In fact, if you think about it, you really don't own anything at all. Because everything we have, everything we are, every gift that has been granted to us, every moment of life that has changed us and made us into the people we are, all of those things are gifts that God has blessed us with. Not ours to keep, but ours to share. Not simply a life to live, but a life to give. And so as we go out to work within this vineyard, never forget that the work we do We don't do for ourselves. But we do out of gratitude for that which God has blessed us with. To be able to go out and share the joy of this world. To go out and do the things that give us life and give us joy. To go out and do the things that we need to do to be able to bring joy to other people. And when we find the good donut shops, to understand that those too are gifts that God has blessed us with. But with all those gifts, we do things in moderation, making sure that we just don't take it for ourselves, but we give it to the world around us.